So I'm going to read the Bible reading again, because just to remind us what it actually said. John 15:1-8. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they'll produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burnt, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it'll be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples, and this brings great glory to my Father. Okay, two things I just want to say about that passage, apart from the one that it always reminds me of that old Keith Green song for you older people. You are divine, we are the branches. Anyway, so first thing to note about this, it's all about fruit and producing fruit. And we saw from Basil the branch that if you stay connected into the vine, you bear fruit. That's like almost an automatic result of remaining in the branch. Remaining in the vine. We noticed that during the drought, we've got two grapevines that are just, you know, I don't go to any great effort to produce fruit on them, but I do like it when they produce fruit. But even in the drought, when they got virtually zero rain all year, they still managed to put out some somewhat diminished grapes, almost sultanas. They were just tiny little things. There wasn't enough water to fill them out the way they should have been. But, you know, the vine shows its life by producing fruit. The thing about a grapevine is that the wood is entirely useless for any purpose whatsoever. It doesn't even burn terribly well. It's not strong, so you can't build with it. And it's twisted and just generally looks ugly. I did notice that on Pinterest you can find pictures of baskets. You can make baskets, like, you know, woven baskets out of grapevines, but that's about the only thing you can. The only purpose that grapevine has is to produce fruit. Even the flowers don't look terribly interesting. And it's important that we prune the vine. That's what Jesus said. Every branch that doesn't produce fruit gets cut off, and the ones that do produce get pruned. There's a huge amount of pruning that goes on. Many years ago, Marlene Morphew got this job. Charlie Richards had planted a vineyard that way, towards Mount Capito, at the base of almost of Mount Capito, planted this vineyard. And Marlene's job was to crawl around in the dirt in the peak of summer, pruning those new vines. And she had to just pick the strongest of the branches that were there and just cut everything else off. That sounds like an exciting job to me. But she crawled around. It was like hot, 35-degree days that she was out there doing. So what fruit does Jesus want from you is the question that we need to ask, because he's not talking about grapes, much as I love grapes. He's talking about spiritual fruit, things that only God can produce in us. One side of that is the fruit of the Spirit. We talked about that a bit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. But there's other things as well. Like, you know, if I was an evangelist, I would tell you, it's converts. He's talking about converts. If you're not winning people to the Lord, then you're not producing fruit. Well, I'm not an evangelist, so I'm not going to tell you that. But what he does want is disciples. He wants us to produce disciples. That means leading people to the Lord, sharing our faith with other people, and then as a church, as a group, as all of us, working in one another's lives to produce fruitful disciples. So, and we all have a role in that. So I've talked to our cell leaders on several times. Our whole purpose as a church is to produce, produce fruitful, mature believers who love God, love people, who produce disciples, who love God, love people, who produce disciples, who love God, love people, and produce disciples, and so on. It's an ongoing iterative process, if you're a mathematician, as some of us are. What God wants, what Jesus wants from us, is maturity in our own lives and helping other people to grow to maturity in their lives so that we bear fruit and they bear fruit too. Does that make sense, or am I just confusing people? Good. Okay, second thing, point about this whole thing is it's all about remaining in Christ. That's how we produce fruit. That's how Basil produced his fruit there, remaining in the vine. But when he uses that word for remain, it's variously translated, and it means all of them. The word meno in Greek means to abide. That is to live, to stay, to remain. It's a continuous thing that we remain connected with Jesus. And as I was thinking about this morning, the word dwelling place came to it. We've got to dwell in Christ. And that should ring bells from a couple of weeks ago when I talked about Psalm 91. Remember Psalm 91? He who dwells in the shadow of the Most High. And then it goes through all the things that will happen if you dwell in the shadow of the Most High. Well, if we dwell in Christ, if we remain in Christ, that promise applies to, you know, healing, protection, good health, and my stomach's grumbling. So we need to learn. It's not just about Sunday mornings. It's about having our whole life focused on Christ, and that's a learning process for all of us. Practices such as prayer and worship and reading the scriptures in the context of our own personal life, in cell groups and on Sunday mornings, they're the things that help us to remain in Christ. And as we do that, we allow the presence of God, the power of God, and the character of God to change us and to change the people around us. The power of God and the personality of God permeates everything that we do. I'm reading a book, the title of which doesn't matter right now, but they say, you know, if you go and work for somebody or for a company or whatever, you have to be prepared that will change you, because you take on board the culture of the place that you work for. Because, you know, you're spending 40, 50 hours a week there, so you're taking on board all sorts of qualities and attributes. But as Christians, we also need for that to go the other way. And as we allow as we learn to dwell in Christ, allow the presence of God to surround us, then we change the culture of the people that we interact with. And that, again, is bearing fruit. So remain in Christ, and as we do that, we'll bear fruit, the sort of fruit that he wants. Did I come in under 5 minutes? Nobody timed me. I don't know. I make these statements, and you don't hold me accountable. Let's pray. Father, just want to thank you for that wonderful analogy that Jesus used of remaining on that vine and bearing fruit. Lord, I pray that you will, for each one of us, allow that analogy to start to be applied in our own lives in whatever way you want, Lord, whether it's bearing fruit or remaining in you or something entirely different. Lord, show us the meaning of that saying, that analogy for us. And Lord, help all of us to remain in you. Help all of us, Lord, to bear fruit as we do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now for the fun bit, or not fun bit, depending on your personality type. So we're shortly going to go to number six over that way through the gate that's just there in the play area. And there'll be different activities there. Margaret, do you want to explain to people what you want them to do? Just while she's coming up, one of the activities involves a microscope that we borrowed from the school. Alex is in charge of that. You have to treat that microscope with extreme care because it is an expensive piece of equipment and we would hate for anybody to break it and have to renew it. So whatever Alex tells you to do, you do it with that microscope. Alex, are you paying attention? Okay, good.
Right. On the back veranda over there, there are tables just inside the back door. We'll go in the back door, not the side door. There's a table with leaves of various kinds. So if you are a non-craft person, then you could find a nice green leaf or something that's there, write your name with a texture colour, and somebody eventually will put it on the vine over there for you so that you will be in the vine. So the idea is all of us have a leaf with a name. That doesn't matter, visitors and all. A leaf with a name so we can be in the vine. Many years ago, we had handprints. And those were the people from, well, there's tiny little hands for Bethany and Sarah and Matthew. So
about 20 years ago?
That's a long time ago. And up there, we have the people we decorated at various times, that we're part of God's family. So this is another way to remind us we're all part of this vine, that we belong to Jesus. So that's why it's nice to have your name on a leaf. If you want to do more with your leaf, you can design your own leaf. You can take one of the white leaves and there's some green glittery paint, or it's not very glittery, but it's glittery enough. And you can paint your leaf. Those things will have to stay on the table till they dry. And I recommend that you write your name. I've got some black texters. I recommend you write your name with the black texter before you start painting. And there are some just, what else have we got out there? Just various leaf shapes. And so if big people can look after their little people with the paint, because we don't, it's supposed to paint, it will wash out. But we don't need it
everywhere.
Spread everywhere.
Yeah.
The microscope is in one corner, and that will be interesting for people that like to look at sciencey things. Danielle, are you going to paint? Are you going to paint? There's also grapes, and there's some purple paint, like the colour of Danielle's T-shirt, and you just put it in the purple paint, and it's a spongy thing, and you make the grape shapes.
Okay. Also over there in the kitchen, there's a table with some
word searches. Yes.
In the lounge room over there, which is on the, you go through the door to the inside, it's on the left. There's a reflection corner and you can
sit in the lounge room.
Some questions there for reflection. I also have a quiz that I will give you the thing as you leave this building. And if you want to do the quiz, you're most welcome to do that. It doesn't need the assistance of a phone or internet device because this is general knowledge, not the place that I got the answers from.
And we've pre-warmed the lounge room for you. And the back veranda is always warm because the sun shines in. So there you go. And after that, when we're done, the soup hopefully will have got hot. And there's plenty of morning tea and soup and bread and things like that, so welcome to it. Join us for good fellowship. Okay. So we can go next door through that gate.